This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يروي الشيخان فيما اتفقا عليه من حديث جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حديث نايك لكشن إمام بخاري and Muslim read to us by Jabir ibn Abdullah. And the theme of etiquettes of salah is what I'm going to be continuing over the next couple of weeks. Cover inshallah all the ones that I want to cover, and hopefully it can be a reference for children and for students and for people who want to know more. And this one is a hadith that's it will draw a smile on your face because it's the way he said it, alayhi salatu wasalam, is a fine. Qala alayhi salatu wasalam, man akala thuman aw basalan falyatazilna wal yaq'ud fi baytih. No. وفي رواية مسلم قال من أكل ثوما أو بصلا أو كراثا فلا يقربن مسجدنا. Umar al-Khattab tells us, this is a narration from Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab. He says, and I don't know, like the scholars have a little bit of a difference of opinion on authenticating this narration, but most of them use it, and I'm just going to tell you what it says. That Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab remembers that during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if someone smelled of basal or thum in the masjid, the Prophet would order, and they would carry him and throw him in the baqiyah. Wallahi, this is the hadith, this is in the books, I didn't make this up. Now, if you think about this etiquette, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you eat raw garlic or raw onions, and you stink, then atazilna, don't stay in your house for tonight. Pray Isha with your family, no problem, come tomorrow. If today's meal was that, just stay home. He said this, alayhi salatu wasalam, knowing that all the Muslims at the time loved to come to the masjid and loved to be there. This is where people came, where their friends were. It's how they met. The early generation, they lived a better social life. Like, you can't see, if you're married, you can't see your friends every night, right? Your head will fly off. Your wife will, you can't do it. You can't go. But if you think about it, if all your friends prayed Isha in the masjid, right? You get to see your friends every single day. And chat for a few minutes and go, you get to be social every single night. So people like to come. They wanted to come. It was actually something that was negative in their day. They couldn't come to pray Isha because all their buddies are there. This is a problem for us. That's one of the problems, is that a lot of people are here today. They pray, but their real friends are somewhere else. Their friends that they spend time with, they don't come to the masjid. So for them, it's a struggle to come here all the time because it's outside of what their normal day would look like. So it's either you're going to bring your friends to the masjid, they're going to take you out, or you're going to change your friends. And there's no fourth option here for general. So the Prophet ﷺ would say this is because everyone wanted to come. And even though they didn't carry the right etiquette, he would tell, they would still want to come. So he would tell them, stay home. Literally, stay home. فَلْيَعْتَزِلْنَا وَلْيَقْعُدْ فِي بَيْتِهِ. May he sit in his house. If he's going to burp and cause a public health crisis, then stay home. And if you don't have the ability to come and make sure, because you're in proximity of other people, we stand in line together. So if you're coughing your lungs out, and Allahu A'lam how many viruses you picked up on your way here, or if you're if you're ill, and if you've been running a marathon and you came in and you don't have a deodorant in your bag, then maybe you pray at home tonight. And then tomorrow you come in for Isha after. He taught this alayhi salatu as an etiquette because there's a respect for the people around you. This is the degree of sensitivity that a Muslim carries, where a Muslim is not only sensitive to doing the ibadah, but also making sure that he does not offend the people around him. He's not going to come and then cause other people to not enjoy their ibadah and not enjoy their experience. Because your bad odor does not bother you, right? SubhanAllah, the human being is not disgusted from his physical or spiritual filth. Right? Ever think about this long and hard tonight. You're not disgusted from your own physical filth, and you're not disgusted from your own spiritual filth either. Right? Everyone else's kibir is disgusting, but not yours. Everyone else's ujub is horrible, but not yours. Everyone else's riya is clear and obvious, but not yours. Everyone else's envy is not counted, but not yours. Same thing goes for everything. So the Muslim, a true Muslim, is sensitive to himself and what it is that he is projecting physically and spiritual towards others. And he's interested in making sure that that does not bother you. So yes, if I come off in a way that, forget about just the way I smell physically to you when I come to the masjid, but also the way I come off to you as a human being. Am I too aggressive to you? Am I too direct? Am I making the interaction that you and I are having negative because of the way I'm acting? Then you're sensitive to that. He taught this, alayhi salatu wasalam. He told them. This is what this hadith. This hadith is a normal, natural consequence of a way of thought that the Sahaba did not find. The Sahaba, no one objected and say, Ya Rasulullah, my diet is no, khalas. He understands. They get it. And no one objected. They understood this, but they felt that maybe for salah it's okay because it's jama'ah and it's our friends and you know we're there. Yeah, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Zubair and Ali and Sa'd and Sa'id. So what's the big deal? They're all our buddies. No, if you're gonna stay, come tomorrow. Come for Fajr. Maybe if you had a heavy dinner, you stay forever. This is what we talk about. This is why every year like before Ramadan, I speak into the nothingness of the world and say, can you consider not eating a full meal before Taraweeh. Consider, just think about it, not for yourself, I don't care, like if you want to be healthy, don't want to be healthy, it's your problem, but it's very difficult for the people beside you when you're trying to pray, and you won't pray anyways, like you'll do 8 rak'at and you'll be half asleep during them, and then you'll leave. It's because physically we are the way we are. Anyways, I wanted to share that with you because I thought, it was a very direct hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. There's really no two ways to understand it, and there's no way to figuratively understand it unless you want to zoom out and understand the concept behind it, which I think is what we should be interested in. Be careful of how you influence and impact people around you. It matters. يروي الشيخان فيما اتفقا عليه من حديث جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من أكل ثوما أو بصلا فليعتزلنا وليقعد في بيته صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سبحانك حمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم شيخ